Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. A beautiful day. I hope a beautiful show for you. I love this show. Why do I feel sick as I heal? Understanding the biology of cell repair. This is what stops people in their tracks. They start the healing. They go pay a holistic practitioner for some guidance. They go to the vitamin store and they buy the cleanse. They do the things they hope are going to bring them to that better place in their journey with chronic illness, chronic disease, symptoms that don't go away, whatever it is. What stops them is they get sick along the way. In other words, we call it detox, but what does that really mean? To your average person, all they know is they decided they wanted to get healthy, they took the right steps, and boom, worse than ever are their symptoms. And you got to understand what that's about. Because if you don't understand what that's about, you'll conclude you're hurting yourself. Everybody does this. That's the advantage that doctors have. If doctors have any advantage, if people that have education about their process have any advantage, they're going to weather the detox storm more easily. You're not going to flip out when you feel worse than you did before you even started your healing journey. Now, I cover this different ways. Today, I'm really going to get into the science of it. Because I think if you really take the time to get the understanding, you won't keep repeating your incredulousness. You won't add to the anxiety of not feeling well from the anxiety of being in the unknown. And that's where education can help. So strap your seatbelts on. I've got 50-something minutes to get a lot of science to you today. Not going to be a lot of theology here, a lot of philosophy here, a lot of good science. So you're going to have to be patient. Don't get a headache. Remember, you can always get to the archives. And those of you who listen purely on radio, well, God bless you, but I don't know how you do it. I'm glad you do it, but I don't know how you do it. As soon as you can, get on the computer, straighttalk.cc, not .com. That's with two T's, and look at these pictures. Maybe you just receive it on a faith level, which is more powerful than anything. But for most of us, you need to see the pictures and you need to do the science, because that's what helps you bolster yourself when it hurts more than it did when you even started your cleanse. All right, let's go to the pictures. Picture number one. Now, there's your cell. I'm going to whip through these pictures. We've got a full 50 pictures, three articles. We've got a lot to do. There's your cell. You don't have to know what all those parts of the cell are. Just know a cell is a factory. It's a plump, juicy grape. The skin is nice and smooth. It's sweet but tart. It's the perfect little animal in there. And you got gazillions of them. And each organ is a cell with a slightly different job to do. So all the cells of your body have a lot in common. But they have a few differences, and those differences make all the differences. So a brain and a heart and a pancreas and a liver and a kidney are all the same but a little different. That's pretty easy to understand, like people, right? People are all the same but different. There's a picture. Go to picture number two. There's another picture of a cell with a little less detail. Now go to picture number three. Yeah, it's going to be a picture-y day. Picture three, that's a blow-up of the cell membrane. So go back to picture two. If you're following this in the car or if you're at home without a computer, we're talking about now a grape. You're looking at a cell, like a grape, and the skin of that is called the cell membrane. you guys have heard tons about cell membranes from me, but if you look at picture number three, the skin of the grape, the skin to the cell, the membrane, look at picture three, that's a blow up. There's a lot of things going on there. A lot of things going on there. Look on the left, this is picture number three where it says that big blue thing, a protein channel. That's a tunnel. That's a tunnel so you can get stuff from the extracellular space into the cell. If you look at the top of that picture, picture three, it says extracellular fluid. That's the fluid in between the cells, the extracellular matrix. We're going to talk a lot about that today. Now, if you go to the bottom of that page, right, that picture, this is picture number three, you can see the word cytoplasm. That's the inside to the cell. That's the jelly inside the grape. Very simple. Now, the membrane is blown up, and we've got tunnels in the membrane. Now, look at the bottom left of that picture number three. It says cholesterol. That's right, cholesterol. This is why when you take statin drugs and you bring your liver cholesterol the liver produces, you bring it to a near halt, you can run into real trouble. Not only does a statin interfere with CoQ10 production, but also you got to watch how low those cholesterol levels get. Suppose your cell is in a state of repair. In other words, suppose your body in your healing journey has been cholesterol deficient because you've been sick and you couldn't digest, and all of a sudden you start getting healthier and your cholesterol goes up. Of course it's going to go up. Why? Well, there's your answer. That green thing in the cell membrane is cholesterol. You need cholesterol. It's the base for your steroids, which are the base for most of your hormones. It's the one of the key ingredients, okay, of your cell membranes. Now you see in this picture, picture number three, this blow up. Go to the extreme right, where it says phospholipid bilayer. Hydrophilic heads, hydrophobic heads. A hydrophilic head is the part of that, well, you see those red balls with those little yellow strings attached, right? Looks like an ice cream sandwich. Picture number three, those red balls. Go to the extreme right of that picture. Phospholipid bilayer. Those balls, they look like balloons with strings on them. And then they have their counterparts, which look like balloons and strings on them upside down. Those are your essential fatty acids. You take essential fatty acids to make the major constituency of your cell membrane. So if your fats aren't there, if your cholesterol's not there, you get these dingy, weak, poorly structured cell membranes. This is the beginning of your symptom or your disease, where you have breakdowns in the membrane of the cell. Not just the membrane of the cell, but go back to picture one. All those things inside the cell, the mitochondria, the lysosomes, the endoplasmic reticulum, all these things start having potholes in them. They all look like the government should spend, come on in and repair the roads. Maintenance of the cell is a huge, huge place for the way the cell appropriates its energy, to maintain it so it doesn't break down, because it's like a factory. All right, pretty easy so far. Now let's get to the center of the cell, where the DNA is. The center of the cell, where the DNA is. Go to picture number seven. Picture number seven. That's a gorgeous picture of a cell. Picture seven. And in the center of the cell is the nucleus. It's a whole other level, where you have the chromosomes, and as the chromosomes unwind, as the chromatin unwinds, what you're seeing at the end of that little string there, this is picture seven, is the DNA, the double helical nucleotide sequence of the DNA. Nucleotides. Take a look at picture eight. Let's get another picture here. There's sort of a cosmic picture of the nucleus, which is composed of a bunch of chromosomes, which have genes, and as the genes unwind, you break it down into this double helix of DNA, and the DNA is composed of something called nucleotides. So go to picture number nine. As I said, it's going to be picture day. This will all come together, I promise. If you're getting a headache, take a deep breath, relax, and know that you'll get this. DNA, picture number 9. Trillions of cells. Each cell has a chromosome with two meters, right? That's like 6 feet of DNA. 3 billion subunits. Those are called nucleotides. Some of you know that product, nucleotide, that product called nucleoimmune. That's a bunch of nucleotides. Those are the little subunits that form the DNA strand that's bound in a double helical structure that's on the gene, that's on the chromosome, that's in the nucleus, which is in the center of the cell. And that's picture number 9. Now, if you look at really the insight into the nucleotides, go to picture 16. Take a deep breath. Picture number 16. Now, there's the DNA structure. Picture 16, look at the left, GC, guanine, cytosine. Below that, thymine, adenine, adenine, thymine, cytosine, guanine. There's a sequence of GTACA bound to CAT, GT. That sequence can be infinitely variable, and the variation upon a variation upon a variation upon a variation, all these different variations make up the particular function of that DNA segment, thus the gene, thus the chromosome, and there you have it. Diversity among the ecosystem of man, of living organisms. All right, good. Let's go back to picture 1. Now look at that. Look at what I said. Picture number 1, the cell membrane, the nucleus, the DNA sequences, the mitochondria where you produce your all-important ATP, right? Sugar goes in, it goes through glycolysis, it pumps out NADH. Those protons get sent into the mitochondria, into the inner membrane. You pump out a bunch of ATP. Oxidative phosphorylation, we call it. The energy of the cell. That energy repairs the cell because the cell's breaking down. Or that energy does what? It allows the cell to function as that cell is supposed to function, thus the function of the organ. You see, it's simple. Science is simple. We make it complicated, a lot more complicated than it is. I promise no theology today. All right. That cell you're looking at, it breaks down. And every little function in that cell starts functioning less, optimally. In the cost balance, cost benefit of energy in and energy out, the cell becomes less productive to the point where it stops maintaining itself. So it's just like the business you own. The business you own has an output, a service. And the minute more goes out than comes in, what do? Do you deny people your service? Well, you don't do that. What you don't do is you don't maintain your business. You don't change the rug. You don't do the marketing. You don't put into your business all those things that repair the business because you've got to support the product. That's what the cell does. Sometimes a business, to save its skin, will take every dime it makes and put it into what produces the product. And all the other things in the cell that make the product, like the machinery, they all go to pot. They start breaking down and they need to be fixed, but you don't fix it because you've got these demands and you've got to meet those demands. The cell is doing the same thing. And so what does a business look like? A factory? After a factory's functioned at bare subsistence level, it looks like a really broken down, rickety factory. And eventually, the factory gets so broken down that the factory falls apart. And it doesn't function anymore. And that's what happens to your cell. Now, that's a loose analogy, but that's the deal. There's cell maintenance, cell repair. And when you can't do it, the cell starts looking bad. All those structures break down. Look at the DNA. Take a look at the DNA. Watch this. This is fascinating. Go to picture 13. A repair mechanism for each type of DNA damage. What keeps that nucleotide sequence correct so you function correctly So a heart cell behaves like a heart cell, and a brain cell behaves like a brain cell, is the integrity of those DNA sequences. And those sequences, adenine, thymine, guanine, cytosine, are breaking down all the time. Your body has an enzymatic mechanism, tons of them. All sorts of little helpers come in there to repair the DNA. And again,
product that you take
that repairs your DNA. It's the product that you take that helps your health, if it helps your health, as you help your health, that puts your body into a groove that creates a surplus of energy so you can repair your DNA. Okay, I just said a mouthful, but let it slide. DNA damage, cell membrane damage, damage to the mitochondria. All these damages have to be repaired, and if they're not, that's the beginning of your symptom. Worse yet, that's the beginning of your disease. So you're sitting there, and you've got a symptom that won't go away. You've got a disease that won't go away. You want to take affirmative action. You just don't want to sit on your backside and moan and complain and think that your life is over. You want to do something about it. So you go out and do something about it. You get into it, and before you know, you're up against a wall because your body's hurting and it's very curious to you. Now, I want you to keep in mind this question, this scenario, because it's you, to the extent that it's you. I want you to keep in mind everything I've said for the last 15 minutes. Because what this comes down to is by the time you've damaged this much tissue, and by the time you're trying to get repaired, the space in between the cells, called the extracellular space, is a mess of inflammatory snots. I can say snot on the air, I'm pretty sure. Inflammatory mucus that I can give lots of keen little scientific names to, starts to congest the spaces between your cells. Go to picture number four. Let's do picture number four. Now there's picture number four. Picture number four are a bunch of cells. In the green is the space between the cells. In the green is the space between the cells. It's called the extracellular matrix. And it's supposed to be there because your cells have to communicate with each other. Because your cells have to hang together. They got to talk to each other. Because that matrix, collagen, fibronectin, proteoglycans, that matrix gives the cell structure. And if the cell has a loose structure, your organ has a structure. A liver shaped like a liver, a kidney shaped like a kidney, a brain is shaped like a brain, a heart is shaped like a heart, and all those cells are strung together on a vine. And the shape of that vine is the shape of your organ. I feel you. I know you're getting it. This space in between the cells that we're talking about, in the green there, right? You're on picture four. In the green there, this space in between the cells, the minute the cell becomes inordinately damaged, the membrane's damaged, the mitochondria is damaged, the lysosomes are overloaded, the intracellular glutathione level is dropped too low, and the cell is being invaded by viruses and being burst by viruses and viruses that you can't see or detect, and we could go on for days about all the ways the cell will fall apart. But the minute it happens, rest assured, the space in between the cells gets congested. It creates a traffic jam. Now, here's the reason it creates a traffic jam. Let's talk about this space in between the cells. I want you to come down to picture 21. Go to picture 21. The extracellular matrix. Extracellular, easy. In between the cells, matrix, what it's made of, the area between the cells. That's picture 21. Now, look at picture 22. Components of the extracellular matrix. The cells make glycoproteins. If we were going to put our finger on the names, we'd be looking at proteoglycans, fibronectin, cross-linked fibers of collagen. So when you looked at picture four in a moment, just looked at picture four, that was a pictorial of proteoglycans, fibronectins, and collagen. It's the stuff of structure. It's supposed to be there. Now, when your cells start to degrade, when they burst, when their cell membranes leak, the membranes leak the intracellular content into the extracellular space, when things get really messed up, when the doors to the cell are broken down, when diffusion across the plasma membrane, go to picture five. When diffusion across the plasma membrane is all screwed up for a million and one reasons that we call symptom and disease, something happens. Now go all the way down to picture 44. You got to reach deep here. Picture 44. What is that? Looks like something out of Star Wars. Sci-fi, that's picture 44. That is a macrophage. It's an immune system cell. It's the pit bull of the extracellular space. The space in between the cells is patrolled by macrophages. Macrophages are big, big immune system cells with tentacles. And they're going to wrap their arms around everything. Those pseudopods are going to wrap around everything that's not supposed to be there. But the minute that starts, the macrophage takes its whistles and it starts blowing them really hard. And every other immune system cell that your body makes comes to this inflammatory site, whether it's local or systemic. And all these immune system cells end up laying down and signaling, and there's lots of processes now I'm leaving out, but all these immune system cells go to picture 31. Picture 31. Start laying down this protein called fibrin. And everybody's doing that. You're doing that. I'm doing that. Your little child is doing that. Infants are doing it. People that are 100 years old are doing it. Everybody is in some state of laying down fibrin in response to inflammation, in response to everything I just described. Now, once you have a damaged cell to the point where you have a disease, anything you do for it is going to shake up this mass of congested fibrin with all these things in it. Things that are supposed to be there, things that are not supposed to be there. And that's really important for you to understand. Because by the time you have a symptom, a chronic symptom, a disease, those cells don't look like cells anymore. They look like something weird. They've morphed. They've become what we call dysplastic. Worse yet, anaplastic. They start creating malignancy. Or if not malignancy, they become just like dead cells, senescent. Or they start killing themselves. They've become apoptotic, however you want to say that. And that's important for you to understand, because by the time you've been sick 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 25, 30 years, or you've been sick really bad to your knowledge for 1 year, doesn't matter. These spaces in between the cells are glued into a mass of congestion. They're almost polymerized. They've undergone a demolition and a reconstruction, but not in a good way. Now let's go back to picture one. How is your cell going to function right? How is it ever going to repair when the matrix around it, the extracellular matrix, is so destroyed? You see the problem? You see the issue then of starting to heal? You see why you just can't sit there after 10, 20, 30, 40 years and cleanse for a month or 2 months or even a year and expect to see the miracle. The miracle is there. But you have to be persistent and patient. You have to not be fallible to exaggerated claims made by anybody, from pharmaceutical drugs to herbs. You have to use pharmaceutical drugs and herbs with a sense of reality so you can benefit from the wonderful things they can do for you. I use herbs, and I send lots of people to medical doctors to use drugs because they both have their place. But you have to understand what their place is in relationship to the full context. And that means you have to have education, thus the show. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Get to the website, hear the show again, straighttalk.cc. $24.95 for 226 shows. Okay? That's a giveaway. I would give it away, but I'm a constitutionalist. I think you got to attach a little bit something onto something so you feel good about it. So get on that website, get a subscription. I have people all over the world who heal themselves. You can really do it, but you got to have the perspective. What we lack is the perspective. We've got the tools. There's lots of good people out there that know enough. And even if it's not perfect, they know enough. What they face, what I face, and what you face is lack of perspective. And what that means is the public doesn't have education. You don't really understand what you're doing fundamentally, educationally. You don't see the extracellular space. All you know is somebody told you to do a colon cleanse, a gallbladder cleanse, a kidney cleanse, a fibrin cleanse, a whatever cleanse, and you're in pain, and it's just as bad as it was. And that rattles you when it's normal, within reason, within an appropriate parameter. It's normal to take some lumps. When I watch people heal themselves, they're the people that take the lumps. So what one morning there's a little blood in the stool? So what one morning you've got the itchies, lumps on your skin? So what you feel suicidal in the morning sometimes? So what you feel nauseous? So what you don't have any energy? Who cares? It's normal to be like that for all these reasons. You're dealing with a congestion level in the extracellular matrix of enormous depth. And it's had 10, 20, 30, 40 years to sit that way. And your cells have actually changed their structure. They don't even look like the same cells they did when they were normal. Now, of course, God put all sorts of solutions in there. But for most of us, it's not a miracle he's going to hand to you. The miracle comes through blood, sweat, and tears. And I wish it was different. You wish it was different, but it's not. And don't let anybody ever tell you it is, because they are exaggerating or they are lying, one of the two. Or they read it out of a book or some experiment. Because it doesn't really work that way. Healing is real. It's real. And the miracles are real. But come on now. Rome wasn't built in a day, and you will not heal in a day. All right, we're doing pretty good. I feel we're doing pretty good. I think you're okay. Go to picture 20. I've had this book on the show before, Extracellular Matrix. Basis for a Holistic Biological Medicine, Pissinger, Alfred Pissinger. Lots of stuff on this. Lots of stuff on this. Now I'm going to hit you with the hammer. Go to the top of the page. Click to view the full article on inflammation and repair. Click to view the full article on inflammation and repair. Click that article on. Just two pages. Take your Tylenol, just two pictures. European Society of Cardiology, Cardiovascular Research. These are credentialed people that did this. One page, two pages, nice picture. I put all sorts of little numbers on there. Okay, now you're going to take about 5 to 10 minutes. You're going to relax behind this. You're not going to understand half of it. I'm going to go too fast. And then you're going to read it later. But what you're going to do is get the essence of this. And I'm really going to harp on a couple of sentences. And you can go back and read it later. Title, Turning the Right Screw. Targeting the interleukin 6 receptor to reduce unfavorable tissue remodeling after myocardial infarct. Interleukin 6 is a chemical that macrophage, right? That big thing, red thing with the long hands, that picture I showed you a moment ago. Interleukin 6 is a chemical that those things make. It's called a cytokine. Interleukin 6 is one of hundreds of cytokines. And interleukin 6 has a huge role on how an injured tissue repairs itself. The cytokines can be very pro-inflammatory, or they can downregulate inflammation. It depends on what kind there are. At any rate, this title uses the word tissue remodeling after myocardial infarct. After you have a heart attack, the tissue remodels. You can cross out myocardial infarct with any symptom you have, low back pain, ovarian cancer, senility, IBS, rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, schizophrenia, anything, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, any tissue in your body that's symptomatic, any disease process in your body is doing two things. Now we're going to start to put it together. It's been produced, the problem, by long-term inflammation, and the body is trying to remodel that tissue to heal it. And that remodeling of that inflamed tissue occurs in stages. I'm going to say that again. Any tissue that's concerned with disease, heart attack, renal failure, cirrhosis of the liver, IBS, anything, is some balance between all these inflammatory processes that created this congestion and the body going into a remodeling. Some process through which the body gets rid of all this garbage to try to turn all this fibrin-rich congested tissue back to normal tissue. It really works that way. It really works that way. So let's think of that picture. I can't have you go off the article, but think about that extracellular matrix. Think about that space. That space is highly congested with all sorts of pro-inflammatory cells, dead cells, necrosis, tons of fibrin deposition, blockage, nothing moves, the poor cells getting choked off. All the repair systems that are charging to the cell from the bone marrow, the stem cells, to the rescue to make new tissue, it can't make new tissue because the space in between the tissue is so congested. At the same time, your body's trying to remodel that space. Let's talk about that remodeling of space. So that's the title of the article. All right. That article, left side, number one in parentheses, wants you to come down just above where I put number two, and look at what I underlined. These strategies, which I'll get into later, influence myocardial remodeling. So they're talking about how that tissue, after it's been damaged, remodels itself back to health, resulting in the reduction of necrosis. Necrosis is after the cell explodes, after its guts spill out, after the immune system attacks it, after all these hundreds of different cytokines start sending messages to everybody to congest it and lay down scar tissue, fibrin that is. all that stuff I just mentioned rots. It rots away. Bacteria start eating it. It's a feast for microbes. It's nasty. It's like coming into a condemned building, right? Rats, dead rats, animals, microbes, bacteria, molds, funguses, broken wood. Right? Think of that. Resulting in the reduction of necrosis. These strategies. Something comes in to start cleaning it up. Do you know what comes in to start cleaning it up? The same type of cells that initiated the problem. Macrophages. Macrophages begin the inflammatory process. And then other types of macrophages, via other types of enzymes, which is these strategies, come in to clean it up. So, you break it down from too much fatty foods. You break it down from too much sugar. You break it down from too much negative emotion. You break it down from breathing bad air, drinking bad water, having your teeth rotting out. You break it down. The macrophages come in, create an inflammatory mess. That congests the space in between the cells. Now your cell is really in bad shape. Now you're in a disease state, a symptomatic state. And then those same macrophages come in and start trying to clean up the damage. That's what we call repair. Think of that. You blow the alarm because your cell is a mess. The macrophage comes in, blows its alarm. The body ties up the space in a ball of snot, essentially, right? Congestion, snot, swamp. And then your body goes to try to repair it. What health is about is enhancing that process that the body is already doing. What health is about is enhancing the process that the body's already doing. Because the body wants, now go back. Okay, take a deep breath, no headaches. Look at what I underlined. The body results in reducing the necrosis and the advancement of discrete but resilient scar formation. Resilient scar formation. When the body heals, it's trying to heal it with a tissue that's, although not the same functionally, is at least very similar. It at least allows you a space there with tissue that's functional, that's flexible, and that won't damage lots of other tissues around it. Resilient scar tissue, so we're going to harp on this, means this, means the cells you lost after repair, if enough good scar tissue comes in, resilient, flexible, it has more elastin in it. If you succeed at producing a resilient area around the cells that you lost, the other cells will not die. Otherwise, a congested swampland, unattended, will kill the other cells, and you will be in a progressive degenerative situation. So that what starts as a heart attack, what starts as part of your liver not working, what starts as part of your kidney or your lung or your brain not working, will surely extend itself out chronologically, sequentially, in an outward negative bomb of death. And so we say, you have the beginning of this disease, and since you're going to do nothing but fret, you're going to just be part of, well, what we see in the mainstream. The progressive degeneration of your life, whether it's your liver, your kidney, your spleen, your pancreas, or your brain. When the body's trying to heal it, when the body's up to something, this article is funded and been published by people who are studying this, yes, in mice or rats, something like this, about how they can get in there and enhance resilient scar formation. Resilient scar formation. Now, I'm going to make you do this. Go back to the top of the articles and look at the article on resilient scar tissue. Okay, take a breather. You need 5 minutes? 5 minutes of air time so you can rest? I'd rather you do that and have a moment of silence than get confused. Look at that. Scar tissue. When the soft, I'm reading that other article now at the top, resilient scar tissue. When the soft tissues of the body suffer an injury, that includes organs, scar tissue is formed to repair the damaged area. Scar tissue is comprised of two fibers, fibrin, remember, and elastin. Fibrin is non-stretchy and brittle. Elastin is elastic and stretchy. Stands to reason that the more elastin there is, the more resilient and similar to the original non-injured tissue that it is. This is one of the reasons it's so important to mobilize yourself with physical therapy after an injury or surgery, inducing movement while the body is repairing the area that encourages more elastin fibers to be formed in the scar tissue. Now, they're just talking about your limbs. This is kind of a physical therapy thing. This thing goes on in your organs. It goes on in your organs. Okay, leave that article. I'll get back to that inflammation and repair, the last article on the top, where we just were. Go back to that. So what are we saying? We remodel the symptomatic tissue in a balance between what was all this pro-inflammatory congestion with all this fibrin, and now the body's ability to take all that away and leave resilient scar tissue. And if you don't promote that, then the areas around the damaged area, they become damaged, and you're in progressive degenerative disease. If you can get that, you scored big. Because now you know what biological medicine is about. Now you understand what holistic medicine is about. Now you understand what fibrin cleanses and HCL cleanses and gallbladder cleanses and colon cleanses and Banya therapy and dry brushing the skin are all about. Because those therapies get in there and they remodel. They keep helping the body do what the body wants to do anyway, to stop the progression of disease. But this is a war. And in that war, you're going to go into the dumps occasionally. It's going to hurt occasionally. There's no way around it. You can minimize it, but it's still going to hurt. That's why you have to have perspective. Just follow me, this article. I'm going to skip number two. I'm going to stick number three. But look at this over here, where I put number four. So that page, same article, just on the bottom there where it says number four, where I wrote in, here is the reality of your journey. The balance between extracellular matrix reconstruction and degradation. You have to tear it down. After you make the swamp, you have to degrade it to reconstruct it. If you don't have the macrophages and the cleanses and all this stuff going in to peel that stuff out of there, you will not get the stem cell to work effectively that's being transported from the bone marrow to the site of injury. Now, what happens when we degrade it? What happens when you go in to a filthy, dirty, congested, swampy, snotty extracellular matrix and degrade it? Do you know what happens? You inflame it. You inflame it. It starts with inflammation. It becomes a mass of bloody congestion. Metaphorically, there's no blood in that space, but it becomes a mass of gluey congestion. And then you have to degrade it to remodel it, but when you degrade it, you inflame it again. You damage it. There's inflammation. Then the body comes in and turns it to a congested swamp to heal it. You've got to inflame it again because you've got to break that down. That's what inflammation is. When you start sending in macrophages to eat away, when you do HCL therapy, when you do a gallbladder flush, when you do a kidney cleanse, when you do a fibrin cleanse, when you do any of these things to cleanse these tissues, these extracellular spaces, you are going to inflame the space. You must inflame the space. And that's why you can feel bad. Because inflammation, it triggers nerve responses. And the nerve responses translate to pain, discomfort, malaise, whatever. And you have to understand that. And you have to know you might get in a cleanse as you heal over a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. If you've had 50 years of your life taken away, it might take you 5, 6, 7 years to really get radiant again. That's better than spending the next 40 as sick as you were the prior 40. Now look at that. Look at the genius of that. Look at the God in that. Look at what the body does. If we could just receive this, if you could wrap yourself around this and receive it, you'll enhance it. Right? Receive the Lord. Receive the divine. Receive the cosmos. Receive the universe. Receive the life force. You have to embrace the process. Yes, yes, it hurts. You're in pain. You're suicidal. You're depressed. You have anxiety. You still have to receive it. That's the process. You can speed that process up, but it takes perspective. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. If you've been thinking about taking the dive into health, call that number, make the appointment, and begin. Begin with an open mind. Please get a subscription if you can. It'll make your life, my life, and everyone's life so much easier. Get the education. Okay. Let's get off this article. Well, yeah, let's get off this article. Time doesn't permit a deeper inquiry. Let's go back to the pictures. Go to picture 25. Picture 25, tissue repair and wound healing. Tissue repair and wound healing. Yeah. That's symptom becoming healthy. What did I call the show today? Why do I feel sick as I heal? Understanding the biology of cell repair. You're going to walk away from the show going, yeah, I get it. The space between my cells is like a gluey swamp. My cells are all deformed and non-functional. I want them to function well. I've got to go in there and clean out those spaces. But to clean out those spaces, I have to break down those spaces brick by brick. And so I'm re-inflaming a once inflamed tissue. And as I re-inflame it, my liver enzymes are going to go up. I hope some of you across the United States have heard that, particularly Chicago. My liver enzymes are going to go up. Those of you who are involved in different cancer therapies throughout the world, your cancer markers will go up. Your kidney markers will go up. All sorts of pro-inflammatory chemicals will go up in the blood work as you remodel that tissue. And if you're not getting that measured because you're not sick in those senses, just understand that you're going to feel lousy at a certain point. But if you really, really listen to your body, it'll give you a message underneath that, that something good is happening. It's two tracks when you're cleaning the extracellular space. It's two tracks. Track one is, yeah, it may hurt because you're shaking the rug. Track two is, underneath it, something's telling you you're healing. You have to attach to that something. And that's why it's so important not to be fixated on the symptom. It's not so important not to be fixated on the symptom. It's so important to have the right perspective or you're going to focus the wrong way. It hurt a little, so I never did it anymore. Nobody heals anything without a little pain. And that can be an understatement. And that is the way it is. And I think God designed it that way. I truly do. To change, to evolve, is to go through a transformative process. And that transformation is the journey of the soul into the long, dark, black night. That is not easy. Christ taught us that. Okay, I'm not going to get theological. So, let's get some perspective here. Picture 27. Formation of granulation tissue, scar, and fibrosis. Get to know those words. get to know those words. Now, look at this. I love this one. Picture 26. Extracellular membrane, extracellular matrix in cells. Biological medicine. Biological medicine considers the cell and its extracellular matrix as the collective functional unit in higher organisms, not the cell alone. Do you understand, my friends, the myopia of pharmaceutical medicine? Do you understand the myopia of a strict allopathic perspective? They're only looking at the cell, not the space in between the cell. I don't think it's ever been summed up more beautifully than this little slide here. Can you take that in? Can you take that to your medical doctors? Can you take that to your surgeons? Can you take that to your family when they think you're crazy because you participate in any of this? 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007. If you need a little perspective, call and make your appointment. Look at that. As the collective functional unit in higher organisms, not the cell alone, do you consider? Do you see why? Do you see why no one can say, well, what studies show this? Millions of studies show this. This is in the heart of science. It's in the dust-covered bookshelves from 200 years ago, for that matter, from 5,000 years ago. It's in your souls. It's in your analytical abilities. It's just good old common sense. Good old common sense. Picture 32. There's the pancreatic enzymes. Picture 31. Fibrin. Enzymes eat fibrin. It's that simple. Doesn't that make sense? Enzymes eat fibrin. Okay. Picture 36. The Enzyme Treatment of Cancer and Its Scientific Basics. John Beard. Look at that. Forget cancer. Cancer's incidental. No one's even talking about cancer here. I'm certainly not. I'm talking about fibrin. Get rid of fibrin. Enzymes eat fibrin. Nattokinase eats fibrin. Porcine enzymes eat fibrin. The body eats fibrin. The macrophages that come in eat the fibrin. Fibrin has a place, and then fibrin is its own disease. John Beard. They tried to nominate him for the Nobel Prize. His work picked up by the late, great Nicholas Gonzalez. Enzymes and cancer. Picture 34. Cancer, enzyme diet cleansing. And this isn't about cancer. It's just what they talked about. I'm talking about fibrin. Picture 39. History of Enzyme Therapy. John Beard. That's the guy with the granny glasses and the big mustache. Embryologist. Placental research. Beard used pancreatic enzymes. And in 75, studies in science confirmed that enzymes enter the bloodstream through the gut and are recycled back to the pancreas. Meaning what? Meaning the body's using this cyclic mass transit of pancreatic enzymes to scan the body and eat stuff. Eat stuff. That's big. Why would you want to eat the fibrin in between your cells? Now you know. Look at picture 40, HCL therapy. By the way, if you're new to the show, or you may have forgotten anyway, all these types of cleanses are described at length, discussed at length, on my other shows. HCL therapy, the fibrin cleanse, the liver gallbladder stuff. Now you understand what you're doing. HCL. Those protons stimulate in HCL therapy the macrophages. It supercharges the macrophages. You can see people do these cleanses, and then you can put their white blood cells on screens, on camera screens, and you can watch how much more vitalized and aggressive the white blood cell will become. That's why Roy Huntsman wrote the book, 3 Years of HCL Therapy. There's this one over here, 1934, Walter Bryant Guy, medical doctor, I think he was out of Florida. Picture 30, Picture 41. Hydrochloric acid and mineral therapy. Potassium and HCl. It hits the extracellular space like a bomb. It tears it up. It stimulates the macrophages to go in and tear up the place and start to remodel the collagen back to the original collagen. It changes the chemical formation. Collagen 3 becomes collagen 1 in the extracellular space. This is the guts of it, to clear up the space so the stem cells can come in, being what? Prompted by the hypothalamus to come out of the bone marrow and into the target site to enhance repair. Don't be mistaken. These processes really do go on. And they are commonly observed. It's in the literature. Any of my shows on stem cells, and there are two or three on this 226 shows, make reference to this. The liver gallbladder flushes. If you can clear it from the blood faster, the brain will tell the space between the cells to clear it faster. Because if you clear it faster from the space between the cells, the blood can handle it now because it can send it through the bile ducts and out your body. Again, that's why you feel more flexible and better after you do your liver flushes. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. 2, 4, 6, 8 hydrochloric cleanses. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 fibrin cleanses. Banya therapies. Hyperthermia. I brought it on a few weeks ago. Hyperthermia in oncology. Once again, done traditionally, called Banya therapy. Clays, so on and so forth. We have 1 minute. You've had 50-something minutes to take this in. And you do feel better. I know you feel better. If you need more help, you've got the number 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Have a fantastic day. See you next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.